Tonight, we have so much to talk about. The Legion season finale, the third episode of Cloak and Dagger, and it's Father's Day, so we're going to pick our favorite Marvel dads, and we're going to pick our favorite fights, too, because what says Father's Day more than fights? Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
There was a lot of excitement here in the studio as
we were putting
the show together because we found this version of Behind Blue Eyes by The Who, which is from the Legion season finale. When we did the Legion after show where I was a guest and Zia was there and Carrie was there. Amy, you were not there.
I was not.
Yeah, but we used The Who version, which is a great song.
Always.
But we're gonna give Dan Stevens a few seconds here.
I really liked his voice on this.
Oh, I think
he's the beast. Obviously, he knows how to sing.
This is true.
So, anyway, so it was very exciting to actually find this. I know I often reference this interview I did with Chris Claremont that I still haven't edited the video for, but the audio can be found at blackcast.com, BLADTCASD. And he posited the idea that Beauty and the Beast is one of David's personalities. So that's like another thing that he's projected himself into.
Sure,
like, I love that idea.
Yeah,
anyway, welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. I am Christian Blatt, joined on this panel for the first time by Zia Anderson. Can you say hello?
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. And as always, the other side of the desk, we have the one, the only, the Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Wow, that is me with that lovely introduction, and happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you so much, as we will momentarily transition into that topic first. Oh, thank you. In the booth, Anthony, TonyBtony_, and on the far side of the desk, Carrie Lane. I almost said Carrie D. Lane, but then like we're not giving out Twitters, but that's you.
It's not really a lie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And thank you for being here. Yeah, it is interesting because everyone on this panel has done the Legion after show.
Yes,
but we didn't all do it together.
No.
So yeah, we will talk about.
Well, I was always there, and just needed all of you all the same. Yeah. Well, no, the times I wasn't there, Amy was there.
Yes.
Right, and I kept being asked to be
yes.
there. So
they
anyway,
love you so much.
But we will talk yes. about that in a little bit. The first thing I wanted to talk about was. Because it is Father's Day, I wanted to start off talking about our favorite Marvel dads. And because I am a dad, I am going to go first. Usually you would go ladies first, but there's three ladies. So then that means I would go last. And I'm the dad. So I have just dad-splained to you why I'm going first.
You know what? That's fair.
That's very fair.
Thank you. I'm glad that someone agrees. And I picked who I thought is the most obvious for the best dad in the Marvel universe. And that is, of course, Uncle Ben. He's the single most important figure in Peter's life. I mean, obviously, Aunt May is very important, but the guilt associated with not stopping the burglar. Well, he became the burglar, but, you know, he's just like, what do I need to worry about stopping this guy for? And then he breaks into the house and he kills Uncle Ben. It's so tragic, and it's, I don't know. And so I picked this panel from Amazing Fantasy 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man, because it's just fun and like, oh, just a little playful. And I love it. He's like, gosh, Uncle Ben, you're worse than a room full of alarm clocks. How 1962 of you, Pete? And I just love it. And obviously, in this idea of picking dads, you do not have to pick a biological father. He, of course, raised Peter up until his untimely demise, and you would consider Aunt May to be the mother figure in Peter's life. So some of the other characters that have been chosen will not necessarily be fathers. But so if you're in the chat right now, let us know who your favorite Marvel fathers are, and they can be from comics, TV, movies, even video games or cartoons. I mean, if you have fathers in any of those. Zia, what was your choice for favorite Marvel dad?
Ooh, I had to go with Professor X. I mean, he took in countless mutants into his school, took them under his wing, gave them a place to go when they had nowhere else and no one else understood them. And also, he was very, very patient with Wolverine, who was kind of a pain.
Yeah, and even though Wolverine is older than Professor X, as we find out, just he ages slower because of his healing factor.
Right.
Professor X is definitely, or Charlie, or Chuck, as he calls him, is indeed a father figure for him.
Yeah.
And in the case of Cyclops, he's literally a father figure because Cyclops was an orphan. and had no, well, he does have, he has a space pirate dad, but he didn't know him growing up. So that, I think, is an excellent choice. Thank Amy, you. Your choice makes me want to cry. Tell the people who you picked.
I picked.
Tears of joy.
Yes, of course. The one and only Phil Coulson.
Ah, he's like all of our dads, really.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yes. Where do I even begin? He obviously is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the way that he's really taken care of everyone obviously proves that he's the world's greatest father figure. But also, just Daisy alone. That relationship.
Yeah, because her real dad is a psychopath.
Just a little bit.
He's a little unhinged.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say that Coulson is the only positive father figure in Daisy. Initially Sky, but yes. Daisy's life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's great to see how much Daisy, Sky, everyone, one woman, has just really flourished and grown up mm-hmm. because of his, like him supporting her, obviously everyone else, but just having that figure around, I think really helped her. And he's even, I mean, he's grown as well. And I think mm-hmm. that he's not perfect, yes, as all people are, but there's just something about Phil Coulson that is just, like you said, he's like our dads. All
exactly.
of our dads, and he's amazing.
I know. And yeah. Tragically died in the Avengers, but thankfully lives on. And by the
exactly.
way, the one little tidbit of news, season 5 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went on Netflix this weekend. So in case you missed it or you yeah. want to rewatch it, now the entire series is on Netflix. So you can, yeah. you know, Amy binged it in like a week. But I'm exaggerating.
I mean,
but,
you are, but yeah. that's okay. I'll take
yeah. it. And so then, Carrie, your choice is the only actual biological dad here of our picks. So it is one that I wish our friend Michael Shirley were on the panel to hear you pick him. But let's hear.
Well, in my form of logic of where I was getting there, one, also the chat, reading the chat, one, Zias Bailu agrees with Dia about Professor X, and then also I want to say it's Chaos, maybe 13212 says I like Odin. So
yeah,
Odin's
there was some talk about
one.
Odin before
nice.
We started the show. Yeah. That's a great choice. He's not a positive dad role model for most.
Well, they
of...
said tough but firm.
Tough but firm. Yeah,
yeah.
That's okay. Loki.
I mean, yeah. Downright abusive yeah. to Loki, but that's yeah. all right. Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
It's a detail.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian says maybe Deathlok or Mac. Both dads, both great characters.
Aww.
I didn't think Deathlok had...
Oh, no, he is.
Yeah,
yeah
I forgot
that's right.
about
and
having kids.
Mac is a dad.
Yeah.
In,
and he's
in,
a father kind of figure.
In the framework, basically. Yeah. I mean, he is a dad, but then we really get to see him be a dad
yeah.
only in the framework. So that's a great choice, yeah. but it's a tragic, sad choice to think about Mac in the framework, yeah. yeah.
Inkin TV says, Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Reed Richards in the comics, Phil Coulson on TV, and Yondu okay. in the movies. Good choices.
Yondu.
Yeah, Yondu's
Yondu. Yondu is basically, yeah. you know, Star-Lord's real dad, basically.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
his biological dad, but the one who actually raised him and cared about him, you know, so.
Dang, so my choice one. In on dad was from what was it called again? The Gifted. If only because we were talking.
Reed Strucker is the character
Reed,
name. Yeah.
Yes. Since we're talking about Marvel TV, but you know, in thinking about, there are so few good fathers or father figures in most of the Marvel shows that I'm like, that's not a whole
yeah,
lot to
I mean,
choose.
We talked
from.
About some good. Father figures, Pops from Luke Cage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. His real dad, Luke Cage's real dad, not a great choice. You know, I guess a little bit better for, you know, Luke has a better opinion of him as opposed to, the other bad guy, the second half of Luke Cage. I talked myself into something I forgot.
Oh.
So Cottonmouth is the first half, mm-hmm. and then the second half is the other guy. And so in the chat, you can chastise yes. me for forgetting and put the name out there.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, Tony's looking at pictures. he's like, I'm going to say it in a second. Well, before you get to it, then Coulson also obviously was my first
sure.
thought when I thought of it. But he's also a character that we've seen the most of. It's the longest running Marvel show, so we get more time with him to know him
yeah,
very well.
It's true. I mean, we've got 110 episodes, I think, and nothing
wow.
else comes
yeah.
close to that.
Yep. Then, sorry, I'm just looking at the chat. Now, Tony, are you bringing up these choices for Anthony, yourself? Because I would love to comment on these, too, yeah, unless so you're ready to talk
Anthony
about
Anthony
it.
And share, well, with, share
gonna,
with the class.
I was going to do a whole bunch of, like, honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Leading up to the one I was going to say. I'm making sure I can hear my people can hear me. So yeah, so the first honorable mention I wanted to do is Ego the Living Planet.
Not a great dad.
Not
though.
A good dad though.
Not a great dad.
That's where Yondu is better.
Yeah, he is a dad, but he is a very bad dad because he killed Star-Lord's mother. So that makes you a bad dad.
Honorable mention.
Honorable. You know, I'm going to go ahead and call that a dishonorable mention.
Logan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great dad.
In that role, dad role for sure.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yes.
And my personal favorite, I believe, was the Punisher.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Good dad. Okay. A lot of dad guilt for what happened to his kids. That depending on the iteration of the character, he feels like he's responsible directly or indirectly. And then we saw some characters. You had some other ones. Yeah, you didn't mention anybody from Runaways.
From the TV world, I was like, these are great
parents. They were great parents.
Although they're not biologically to Molly. They are Gert's biological parents,
yes.
And they're my favorite parents in the show.
Yes.
And also Alex's parents are also really great.
Well, we have to pick Alex's parents because Ryan Sands was a guest on the show.
I was about to say, Ryan.
They were good parents, too.
Yeah.
They're very conflicted about being involved in Pride. Yeah.
A little stern. You know, a little too stern, well, you know, but, you know.
Yeah.
When your parents are assassins.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know that story. If your parents are assassins.
Yeah, totally. Also, with Punisher, the computer guy. I'm telling about
Microchip.
Microchip. He was a good. I mean, he was
a good dad.
He was away from his children to save them, but loved them so much, and you knew how conflicted he was to be away from his kids.
He loved his kids so much that he sent the Punisher into their house to keep.
Well,
it
fine.
On.
When he's reunited with them later.
Could you please make out, with my wife? All right, that's not exactly what happened.
But yeah, there's. I. It's interesting. There's not a lot of good father figures in Marvel TV, father biologically or not.
What about Stick?
Well, Stick. So
I thought of that too.
We see Matt's actual father, and you know he teaches him some lessons, but you know he has to throw a fight because he's a boxer, and then you know he gets basically run down by mafia thugs. So he's not a bad dad. He's just gone.
He's very stern.
Yeah. And I think Matt got a lot out of it. And I think Matt had a very different kind of parentage from Stick, which is a little bit, you know, you want to talk about tough love.
That
is Stick
that was
right
more
there.
Yeah, he was
parenting.
A tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad dads that were not going to make the list. The dad from Iron Fist.
Yes.
Yep.
He is not a good dad.
No,
that might be the
terrible.
Worst dad. You know, it's up there because he killed a lot of people, actually. So.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Ruined us.
Anyway, let us know.
Would Magneto be a good dad?
Magneto to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I don't know that he's a good dad to them.
Which one?
Magneto. He recruits them for the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. So I think that in and of itself might not be a good dad act. And I don't think that they find themselves on particularly good terms with him for very long. You know, there's a softer, gentler version of Magneto we get at one point. But in general, probably not Dad of the Year. He probably doesn't have the mug that says World's Greatest Dad.
Mm. Yeah. And Stick was probably a better father figure to Elektra a little bit, too.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Yeah.
And then in the chat, it was mentioned Jace Turner of The Gifted. Like, he's not a good father, but he's someone who's dedicated to his kids, like the guy going after the mutants. But I think he's wrongfully guided on where he's going for it. But the fact that he loves his daughter so much, he goes to this extreme is like, but
I feel like the reason that there are very few good dads is that all of these heroes kind of have to have some kind of a tragic story, and that always comes from your upbringing. It's always some kind of terrible upbringing, like you lose somebody, or you had really terrible parents, or you went through some crazy thing that happened to you, and then it makes this awesome hero. Yeah, it's like part of the story.
It's Disney princesses not having moms.
Exactly. If they all had great parents, nothing would have happened, and they would have gone off to college somewhere.
On Cloak and Dagger.
Those are, well...
on the one side.
Tyrone's parents
are good parents.
Very good parents.
Tandy's dad... Yes. You really like Tandy's dad, you know?
He's busy, workaholic, but when he picked her up from ballet class...
Late, when it was raining.
It happened.
And he was also being very what's the word I'm looking for? He was being not very very irresponsible, mm-hmm. being on the phone and driving. Like, mm-hmm. come on, man. That's not, you have your daughter
as
in
a,
the car.
As a dad, I try to pull over and do my texting and driving. But,
yeah, he does that.
apparently Tandy's dad.
Tandy's dad.
Well, that is actually a good way to transition into talking about Cloak & Dagger Episode 3. Now, Zia, this is your first time on the panel.
It is.
So let's let you give your thoughts on all three of the first episodes. Just what you like, maybe what you didn't like, and just sort of a generalization of the first three episodes of Cloak & Dagger.
Okay. The first episode was a little bit hard for me to get into, mostly because before I watched it, I had looked into the comics more and into the backstory, and boy, did they take a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
Which I know that I'm personally a little bit of a stickler about, because I'm a big reader, and I've watched a lot of my favorite books be adapted into movies, and I know you can't do it exactly the same. They didn't do anything the same. Like, nothing, except for their names.
That's one of those. And it's not a based on, it's a inspired by.
Yeah, inspired by.
We talked about that on this show, that it's hard to do the, you know, the genetic testing with synthetic heroin. And, you know, I think that they're playing more of a long game with what they're, you know, they're having the Roxxon Corporation involved, and, you know, there's a lot more to it. But, yes, it is definitely not, and that was what I said, when the first episode of this show, when we first started last fall, I was like, I don't know how they're going to do Cloak & Dagger, especially for Freeform. But
yeah, I get that.
Anyway, so what were some other thoughts?
Well, and as it progressed, the music was a little bit jarring to me. It seemed very loud, and I know it's not my style of music, so just personally I was like,
That's refreshing to hear, because I thought it was just because I'm old, and I'm like, these kids with their music, what is this?
But that's how I felt, which makes me feel like I'm
old
getting
soul.
Old. But once I got past the first episode, the second and the third, I started to get more into the story. And I think I was talking to you about this before the show. I like that they finally started to use their powers a little bit more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that in this third episode, we see them not only use their powers, but they use their powers and they interact with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, that's what I wanted to see. And I don't know how many episodes they have, but it's like, we're already on episode 3, and now we're just getting it. So I'm looking forward to having it, you know, ramp up a lot throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah. Get a little more action. But they're doing a great job with the character development for the first few seasons.
Yeah, I really like...
I mean, episodes,
I like their interaction together, especially. Yeah. I think that the characters are well-developed, and I do like when they interact together. So I like what I'm seeing, and I look forward to seeing more. Amy, what did you think of episode 3?
Well, I think that was the first episode where we really got to see them together for a while, and I think that's part of my favorite part of the show so far. I have seen all 4, but... I think that's
humble
where
brag.
I think that's where it really finds its footing, when they're working with each other and they have both of their powers. And yeah, I mean, even delving a little bit more into their loved ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like their, you know, who they're with.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I want to make sure that they go, like, really, really into it so that you start to care about them a little bit more. Because what we had so far, I mean, it's, you know, for people that don't know the comics, it's like, okay, cool. Like, wow, you guys have had a really rough childhood, and now you're here, and now you have these powers, and you're kind of psyched about them, but also a little bit confused, as anyone would be. But, yeah, you know, just having a little bit more...
Yeah, and I think I like that each of them have at least some kind of romantic figure in their life. I like the girl that Tyrone knows from school. I like sort of seeing that. I'm like, well, that's very cute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw from Tandy's sort of, you know, lightness vision of the future just how much her boyfriend cares about her.
Yeah.
Well, that's mutual, considering she, like, is like, oh, you, the cops got you. Yeah, I gotta, I'm out.
Yeah,
I gotta
go. She just keeps going.
Yeah, well.
She's a runner.
That's what she does.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah. And Carrie, what did you think about episode 3 of Cloak & Dagger?
I'm glad it's picking up its pace. I felt the first two were a bit slow. Not uninteresting, but it's one of those, like, okay, can we move along a little bit faster? I enjoyed 3 a lot. I also, which I've said before, I just recently went to New Orleans, so I'm like, oh, the voodoo shop they go into, you can totally go there and go inside.
I
went
there.
Awesome. And, like, just I didn't do a voodoo tour, but I did a ghost tour, and the way they walk around, everything, I'm like, that's exact. I like that they're really capturing... I mean, I never lived there or anything, but I feel as from a tourist perspective, they're really capturing the essence of the city. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool to watch because, like, there's not I don't feel Louisiana is a major location that's like a main show thing.
So
often.
A lot of things do film there, but they often don't film
like it's
it.
Not set as
they
Louisiana.
Don't actually have
yeah,
it be
quote New unquote.
Orleans. Yeah, and yeah, I've spent a lot of time there over the years, and I like sort of seeing some of the local flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that yeah, I think it's interesting to have. It's like, well, we're filming here. Let's have it set here.
Yeah,
and it's good to have it be separate from all the New York shows.
Yeah,
you know, all the Netflix
agree.
Shows.
Yeah. And it's because other times it's like a fictional city. I'm like, oh, it's nice we can connect to this real place. Also, I love that at the end he's like, we need to talk. I'm like, yes, I love it.
Finally.
Characters are like, hey, something weird's going on.
Yeah.
We should talk about it. I'm like, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk about this weird darkness and
yes.
light thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. I like what we're seeing so far, and I look forward to it. And there's like one little funny moment that I wanted to call out because I thought I liked it. It was when he goes to the voodoo priestess,
yeah.
basically, and she's like, you know, all these crazy things that you need to get. He's like, what am I going to do? Go out in the woods?
Yes,
like,
yes.
There's a place you can get this. And he's cut to the bag
Whole
from Whole
Foods.
Foods.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was you know, I get it. I understand product placement. It's still funny.
It's a good joke, though. But it's also that assumption of like, ooh, it's all these bizarre
yeah.
things. It's like, you can go
you
to
can
the grocery store. Yeah. It's okay.
Which I was telling my wife about that.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, yeah, when, you know, I have two kids. And she's like, when she had to buy things for when she's pregnant, it's like, oh, yeah, you can get it all at Whole Foods for just various elixirs and recipes and things that help with being pregnant. Now, before we move on to Legion, I know Amy has something to share with all
yes.
of us.
Ooh.
Yes. Well, hi, AfterBuzzers. So here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, super cool superhero stuff, maybe, yeah, like us, and more. So there is no network that works harder to serve television fans than us. So, but now we kind of need your help. We're asking you that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So besides helping us a ton, here's what is in for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you, which is really cool if you think about it. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows we're sure you'll love. Now, since you're already tuned into this sci-fi superheroes fantasy channel that you're watching us on right now, you might also be interested in Luke Cage, which is coming out soon, like next week.
Right. The second season premiere will, well, it all drops on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the after show will be very soon thereafter. Stay tuned to find out when it is.
Mm-hmm. Cloak and Dagger, which we were just talking about. You can also watch that after show.
On Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time.
Look at that. Thursday nights at 9 Pacific time. And that's great because, you know, we talked about it very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to go in depth, you should watch the Cloak and Dagger after show.
And also Into the Badlands, which is very popular.
I was going to say, also I'll plug The Expanse, which I'm on that one.
Mm.
Which we had two actors in today from the show.
Look at that.
See, awesome. We're just looking out for you guys.
Yeah.
And now remember, we have channels for other genres too. So please don't be shy to subscribe to them, peruse, find what you like. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. If you don't hit the bell, you won't get them. So don't worry. Now it's easy. Hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, so if you write in the comments that you did that, we'll shout you out on air. Yay! So thanks for being the best of fans. We really appreciate it. And we promise to continue to do our best to serve you. Yay!
Thank you, Amy.
Thank
you. And yes,
you.
Please subscribe and like and rate and comment, all that stuff. It all helps the network and it helps the shows like Marvel TV Weekly.
Exactly.
Christian in the chat says, yes, Cloak and Dagger after show is great. Thank you for tuning
there
in for
we
that.
Go. That's awesome.
That is fantastic. And you know another after show that was great, but it just ended this past week? The
Legion
after show. And we all spent time. We all did time there. So three of us on the panel were on the season finale panel.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all talked about it before.
Yes.
And we will talk about it again. But,
yes.
Amy, this is your first opportunity to talk about
this
it.
Is
so
true.
I would like to start with you about the Legion season finale.
I would like to start off by saying that I think they listened to our request about the mouse.
Yes, I mentioned that on the show that we saw the mouse was a central character, and I'm like, well, good for the mouse.
Exactly.
You know, I was like, why doesn't he have a good agent? You know, so now he gets back in the show. Maybe if they do a Stuart Little reboot or the Mouse and the Motorcycle.
Yeah. Yes.
So I hope that this mouse is going places.
I think it is.
Apart from the mouse, though, what were your other thoughts?
I'm very happy to say that I actually really did enjoy this episode. I don't know if it was just because it's the culmination of the whole season into a lovely finale, or the mouse, or the lovely music at the top of the episode. But yeah, I think it, like, I understood it. Wah. So I was very, very happy about that. Did you guys notice the font? I don't know why. It just hit me.
Like the opening sequence?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the font is like the Men in Black font from the movies.
Oh, I don't think I caught that.
I don't think it connected to Men in Black, but I did notice.
Yes, that's very cool.
It's not the logo, but it's the opening credits. Similar, at least.
Cool.
Font. So I was like, hey. I like the different Davids that we got as well.
Yes.
I think those episodes really resonate with me because I like seeing multiple Davids and how each one is slightly different. So we get to see more parts of him. There's also fun little quotes that I liked. Baby, don't you trust me? Maybe I trust myself more. Oh, snap. Dang. And then him, I mean, the whole situation with David. Oh, it's a sticky situation.
We talked a lot about this on the after show.
Did you guys read the comments?
Oh, yes, I did.
Me too.
Yes, I actually didn't. Well, so,
oh, there was a lot.
Yes.
I guess,
they Carrie, do not agree with us.
No.
Summarize what you guys said, and then we'll get Amy's thoughts, and then we'll talk about what people commented on the other show.
Okay, so in case people don't understand the situation just yet, if you haven't watched it, I'm like, well, you should watch by now.
You should definitely have watched the Legion season finale to hear us talk about it,
I would argue Farouk poisoned the way Cid thinks.
Yes.
So her opinion of David is not a genuine, honest opinion anymore because Farouk, as Melanie, changed her opinion. Before that, she did not feel the way she did when she left. And I feel that's incorrect information, and the way he's poisoned other information, I don't trust. I don't feel she's in the correct mindset when she leaves. Like, it's definitely like you've been persuaded the wrong way.
To use a term from the present day, she was given hashtag fake news.
Yes.
There you go.
So then there's a later scene. So David essentially wipes some of her memories. So rewinds her back to where they were before this point. Erasing memories, not cool. And yes, they should have had that discussion and she should be upset about that. That I'm totally okay with. They have a sex scene later and some people are like, it was a quote unquote rape scene. And I'm like, no. They argue she would not have had sex with him if she did have her current memories.
Well, but she was trying to kill him.
She was.
She tried to kill
him. But if you negate those opinions because they were not truthful and she never, ever goes, hey, David, I heard this about you. We need to talk. She never does that. So that was just like, nails on chalkboard. And then Christian's like,
oh, no. I'm like, well, let me point out that when we talked about this, myself and Rick were the two men on the panel. We did not weigh in on any of this.
You're like, let's let the ladies do
even
it.
Even if this weren't right now where these sort of topics are, you know, in the forefront of the news. And over the weekend, you heard more allegations against somebody else. So, you know, you hear it all the time. And we're like, oh, yeah. And I said this on the Legion After Show, to borrow a phrase from Pulp Fiction, I don't even have an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, it's fascinating. And I like hearing what you are all saying about it. And I think it's very interesting that you have that view. And Zia, I think you mostly agree with
the last little bit, though, is in their love consummating, if you will, she is never like, no, I don't want to. Like, never any indication of no. And so.
But she did not want him to be. She wanted to just. You know, when she's like, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to be alone. You know?
Yeah, but when he comes to her later, she's still like,
How'd you get here? And she didn't say like, okay, well, you should get out.
She had multiple points to be like, no, not going to happen or something. And then that would have been fine. So I didn't get that vibe at all.
No. And I agree. And I was, yeah, I mean, you literally have broken down every point that I was thinking about after reading the comments. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Man, the comments. Oh. Go watch our watch Legion after show and read the comments. Like, everyone's like,
1 minute summary. Did they not agree with you, is what you're saying?
No. Most people did not agree with us and were like, that was so, like,
that was very rapey.
They reference Willow, which from Buffy, that they're like, they erase memory there, which I'm like,
love Buffy. Yeah.
Fair enough. And again, what he did wasn't right, but in that particular situation, I don't think he took advantage of her.
No, because he was just trying to get her to a place where she was.
She was there before.
Yeah, literally, what, the day before. Yeah. And he must have been so confused.
Yeah.
Again, I still don't have an opinion, but what I will say is that what David did is a lot more similar to the sort of thing that Kilgrave does to women and changes their opinion of him.
Now, but she didn't change it.
A pre-existing opinion of David, but that was not her opinion. And so, yes, there all of the points you make are fine. I just wanted to put another one in there. But again, also, I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything.
Was doing it for very, very malicious reasons.
Yes.
David just wanted her to not want to kill him anymore.
Yes.
And to go back to being on his side, where she literally was.
He probably should have been like, hey, Sid, we need to talk about this. Yeah, so absolutely. His fault, too, of no communication.
Of course.
Amy is so ramped
up. I know, I was going to say, I can't wait to let Amy talk. Yeah.
Okay. I love that you ladies agree. I disagree with both of you. Okay, he doesn't try to change her opinion about him because that's how she felt about him earlier. But the thing was that at that moment when he changed it, she no longer felt that way. So he already changed her. Yes, he didn't, you know, like when she says, oh, you know, yeah, I want to be alone. He changed that. He went inside her mind and changed it. So that's already like a violation right there. When she's not totally herself at that time, it's a different version of Sid that was there at that time. He took advantage of her. That's not okay. So I don't. It's not super. This is weird. Not super rapey, but it's definitely in that area because that's not how she felt at the time. He changed her. He violated her mind.
So like in the hallway, he changed her mind.
I don't know when he did it, but when he changed her mind
when they were in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just essentially rewound. Like, so how do you think he changed? So you don't feel like he just took out the memories of just that last time with Melanie?
Just the Melanie Farouk. Just Farouk poisoning her. He just took out the poison.
Yeah. The point that I made on the Legion After show is, again, sort of devil's advocate-y. Is like if you're divorced with someone and then you take their mind back to the point when you were together and happy,
exactly.
You're doing what he did.
Which is fine, except that this is because of outside interference. It would be like somebody telling them, oh, your husband cheated on you and that's why you're getting divorced when that wasn't true.
When actually your husband didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's to me, it'd be more similar to that. It's very complicated.
And
it is.
David does not come off well in this whole thing. I know. However, we were hating Sid.
Yeah. We're like, no. Nope.
No, I think really they both have done.
Some no. serious yeah. issues. So David does not come off well. However, the way that everyone else turns on him is clearly aided by the mouse. But the mouse is, of course, bringing
from Farouk.
Bringing the Farouk news.
Yes.
Hashtag Farouk news. So
that's beautiful.
It's very clear that obviously that. You know, sure, David did something that is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. There's differing opinions about how inappropriate. And I think that, you know, turning a trial for the Shadow King into a trial for David is surprising in that David is mostly a good guy and the Shadow King is unquestionably a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be very interesting. And what I did like for David's sake is that he finally just gave up and he's like, you know what? Screw all of you.
Peace out.
And he's like, listened to his other Davids. And we saw that he is not going to be held by some, you know, invention that can, you know, a little prison, basically. He's like, no, I'm one of the most powerful mutants on Earth. Believe me, I can get out of this. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that he did. Fascinated to see what he and Lenny will be up to in season 3. Yes. It all comes back to Lenny.
Love Lenny.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. So where it ended was, I think it was a great way. I did not expect the story to take that turn.
Yeah.
I did expect people to start to feel like David was the real threat. But I didn't think that that was what was going to happen. So I think.
But do you think he's the villain? Quite a few people in chat are saying, like, if he's the villain or not. I don't think he's
the
villain.
I think David is not the villain. I think
he has the potential to maybe become the villain.
Yeah, I think that for David, the problem is, you know, the old saying, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He has absolute power.
Yeah.
There is so much, you know, I feel pretty confident saying he is more powerful than the Shadow King. He's just younger and he doesn't know how to get his powers under control as well. So he can do anything. And so the threat of David is great, but the idea of these future crimes is very Minority Report, as we talked about on the Legion After Show.
Yeah.
So I think he's just like, screw it, I don't need any of you, you know, and like, well, you know, Lenny will make me laugh, so let's get out of here.
Yeah.
See, well, okay, I'm going to get this.
So power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility is a different saying.
That's what I was going to say. Well, no, but it's still power. So I think already in this season, in this episode, we already see him start to go off with, like, everyone owes me something. I'm like, calm down. Like, yeah, you've got powers. Whoop-dee-doo.
We're like, hashtag Team David.
We are.
Like, he's so full of himself. I get it. But I'm just like,
Well, it's a great question, though, Amy. Would you say that you feel as though you can't be Team David because of what he did with Sid? Or because you can't be... I can't see how anyone would be Team Farouk. And yet, there's a lot of Team Farouk in whatever that level 3 or whatever. It's Division 3.
Division 3, yeah.
No, you can't... No, I'm not Team David. I'm not Team Sid. I'm not Team Farouk.
Okay, you're Team Amy.
Lenny.
Team Lenny.
Yeah, but it's more Aubrey Plaza than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Oh.
And by the way,
lots of issues.
To take a step back, do you know who said with great power comes great responsibility?
Uncle Ben.
Yes, it was. It was Uncle Ben who said
it. Did I get a prize?
Yeah. Well, you already got a prize, but you didn't read it yet. So once you read X-Men Dark Phoenix, maybe you'll get another prize.
I got to read the one that Michael gave me first.
Anyway, so... We've talked a lot about the Legion finale, and I just want to briefly touch on one thing before we move on to our other topic, and we'll move through it pretty quickly. The beginning of the episode starts off so strong. There was a song we used at the beginning, Behind Blue Eyes. Dan Stevens did a great job, you know. And we finally get to see the showdown between David and Farouk that we've been waiting for all season. And it starts off, it's so awesome. They're like animated versions fighting each other. I'm like, oh my God, this is
bizarre,
great.
And bizarre, unique creatures.
Really crazy stuff. This is great. I love this. And then it ends and it's like 3 years later. And I'm like, no, I wanted more of the fight. This is what we needed. And it was like, it was almost like, oh, we went over budget on that animation. So
stop rolling.
So as cool as that was, I would have liked to have seen more. Ultimately, at the end of the episode, it's fine. But in that moment when the fighting was over and then they told us 3 years later, I'm like, that is not what I wanted. I wanted more of that fight.
I wanted more of the fight.
So that was why I wanted us to talk about, you know, semi-briefly, because we'll be out of time very soon. I wanted us to talk about our favorite fights from Marvel TV, movies, comics, video games, wherever you might find them. So we each had to pick at least one TV, and so I will use my TV first, and mine is from Daredevil Season 1 when he fights the Hand the first time, and man...
Is this the hallway?
Yeah, this is when he gets, you know, he comes pretty close to dying. Like, if not for Claire, I think, would have died. He, you know, when, like, that little, like, not hatchet, but, like, that claw thing, like, takes out, like, part of his...
Oh, yeah. That's not the hallway scene.
Yeah, that's not the hallway.
That was my choice.
That's right.
It's Nobu, I believe.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that is the, like, it's such a great sequence. It does not go well for Matt. But I think... As you mentioned, the logical choice is now to throw it to Zia, who has a very similar sequence.
Similar, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's Daredevil. When we first got into that show, that was what blew me away about it. And it was that season one, I think it was the end of episode two, that hallway scene. That was a 3-minute single shot fight sequence.
It was amazing.
Yes. And I just love when he throws the guy through the door and then you see a microwave come out, just slam into the other guy's head. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite moment.
Anthony in the booth has a great fight that he would like to share, and we'll get to the rest of the ladies in a moment.
So I just thought of this on the fly, just to, you know. So the one I thought of, which I really enjoyed, was actually from the Defenders, and it was when it was Danny Rand against everyone when
they fought each other. It's a different one.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, he's the immortal Iron Fist, so he should be able to beat everyone.
Yeah, just, he held his own. It was great.
I mean, when he gets the hang of his chi, he will be able to beat pretty much anyone. And I think that anything that's pro Danny Rand is pro me. So I am all in. Very excited to see Danny in season two of Luke Cage. Amy, you panicked for a minute because you thought that Anthony was going to steal yours.
Exactly.
You're number three from the Defenders. What is the sequence?
It's the final fight scene when everyone's working together to take care of the hand. Yeah, it's fantastic because each one of them has a certain special skill that they have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So seeing them all work together, it just goes hand in hand. Did that work?
No, it worked. But asking if it worked made it not work. So it worked.
There was no reaction. No. I'll take it. It's okay. You guys laugh. But yeah,
that's a great one. Yeah, and there were great fights in the Defenders. That one in particular, and the one that Anthony said as well. And then Carrie, your fight. Let's go with TV to start for sure.
I definitely agree. I have to second that hallway scene for Daredevil was amazing, and it's just like so realistic. They're fighting compared to Iron Fist. The stunts look really good compared to that's a stunt double hopping in right now. Hmm. Though he does have a suit, so it's probably easier to hide someone. But still, it looked great. But also, a second one, I was thinking every cage match that Connie has in Iron Fist was awesome. Connie.
Colleen.
All her cage fight scenes were so cool because she's
awesome. I actually
forgot
about those. Yeah, no, her as the cage.
Great judo throws in there. Mm-hmm. Oof.
Colleen Wing is a great fighter, and I like all those sequences. So then my second one I actually picked, this is from the comics. This is a pretty amazing one. It's from Wolverine number 75. Something that could have happened at any point in all the years beforehand. Magneto rips out Wolverine's adamantium skeleton.
Whoa.
Because he's the master of magnetism. Mm-hmm. So anytime he wanted to, he could have done this. Mm-hmm. This is after they had Magneto take the dark turn back. And the one cool thing that comes out about this is when you realize that Wolverine had the bone claws. So he was born with the claws. It was always assumed that, and I think this was a retcon thing, but it's still fascinating. It was always assumed that the claws came about when he went through the Weapon X process and ended up with that. So it was something that he had to live with for a while. And then they realized that he actually needed the adamantium to keep his more berserker, feral side in check. So then he got the adamantium back. But in that moment when it happened, I'm like, what did I just read? I could not believe that happened, and I don't think we'll ever see that in a movie or a comic or anything, but...
So he still had, like, a skeletal structure?
Yeah,
afterwards?
It's like a bumpy...
So
it's like a bumpy skeletal one coming out of his hand.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, it's not, like, smooth.
Like, once he ripped out his,
It was fused to his skeleton, so he still had a skeleton, it's just the metal was taken out. Anthony, if you do a Google image search on Wolverine bone claws, maybe Wolverine bone claws, Wolverine number 75.
Oh, the picture of the metal coming out of his skin looks so gross.
Yeah, no, it's rough. But and then you know we'll show that if you're able to kind of find the first time that we see it. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. And then so Zia, what is your number two choice?
Ooh, my number two was the end of Thor Ragnarok when Thor 142, Hulk and Loki are all fighting Hela's army. And Led Zeppelin's The Immigrant Song comes on, which was just absolutely perfect. And this is why Thor is one of my favorite superheroes, when he goes all out. And, I mean, he has lightning shooting out of his body, and he literally picks up a person by the leg and throws him. Yeah. And then you have Hulk fighting a giant wolf in the ocean. I mean, it was just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, getting to see Thor go all out in Infinity War as
my
well.
Favorite.
Like, yeah, it's great when he actually lets loose. So I personally liked seeing that. And then, Amy, what was your number two?
Well, kind of tying into Infinity War. I'm tweaking mine a little bit. But, I mean, the three ladies fighting together, Okoye, Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow. Yeah, I mean, just seeing all of these people come together, even heck, I mean, everyone just fighting together. Yes. Ugh. I guess I like it when everyone comes together and fights. Mm. Is what I'm trying to
You like
to
big group fights.
Team, right. I like big group fights. Yeah. And I cannot lie. But yeah, it's
Thank you.
Yeah, and Thor, when he comes down, he's like, give me Thanos. Ah, yes. I love it. Yes.
Carrie.
Kind of an oddball choice. I'm like, because there's so much going on. The opening of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, when Groot's dancing when they're all fighting.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a memorable fight scene because there's all this crazy action going on and he's just chilling and dancing.
I love Baby Groot.
Yeah, Baby Groot's awesome.
Teenage Groot seems like a bit of a jerk.
Oh, he's a jerk.
Oh, my gosh. He still helps when it counts, though.
That's true.
He did. Oh, he was the reason that Thor got his weapon. Yeah.
That's true. My number
Suggestion. Heywood in the chat says, what about Captain America in the elevator in Winter Soldier?
That's a great moment. Absolutely. Yeah, because that's like, you guys sure you want to do this? You know, because he's like, because he knows. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm Captain America. I know you guys think that you're, you know, badass, but this is not going to go well for you.
I do have a comic book one, because I'm pretty sure it happened in the comic, but I've only seen the animated version.
Okay.
But it's Wolverine versus the Hulk, because I believe I hear the Hulk rips Wolverine in half.
I don't remember reading that, but that doesn't mean, look, all it needed to do was happen after the year 2000, so I just don't remember it. But you feel like you're fine.
There it is.
Look, he's certainly capable of it. And like Deadpool, Wolverine can be ripped in half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah. And he
that's
can be
cool.
put back together.
Yeah. But the question is, does he need to be put back together or would he grow a new body like Deadpool?
Now, that's a good question.
I feel he has to probably be put together. Like, Deadpool feels complete regenerative. Like, it just grows like a cancer. But Wolverine,
my only thinking is that as strong as the Hulk is, he'd only be able to rip Bone Claw Wolverine in half.
Yeah.
I don't think the Hulk can destroy adamantium. I know he's really strong, but the whole point of it is that it can't be destroyed. Although adamantium versus vibranium is a different conversation, but one that we don't need to have right now. speaking of vibranium, my number one choice is the airport sequence from Civil War. It's got everybody. And it literally got everybody. And I loved in Spider-Man Homecoming when we saw his little home videos of like, okay, now that guy's big. I gotta go. And I just loved everything about it. That was just like, I think Civil War was a great movie, but that was just like, I don't even care what happens the rest of the movie. That is, for me, my number one from the movies or TV. Zia, what did you have for number one?
Ooh, I had to go with the opening fight scene in Deadpool.
Yeah,
for
the
me,
first Deadpool.
The first Deadpool, yeah. That was incredible. That was everything that Deadpool needed to be. It was the perfect combination between hilarious and ridiculously gory. Yes. And he burned somebody with a car lighter and then put it in his mouth. And that was just wonderful.
Yeah, and that was letting you know, like, don't worry. Were you afraid that we weren't going to Deadpool? Right. Wasn't going to be Deadpool enough? Oh, no, we got you. Don't worry.
And then you go into the movie being like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Or even in the credits, how they were like, this person did this. Man, did that. I'm like,
love it.
Yeah, so the card of Green Lantern, the Green Lantern play card.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I do remember
that. In the opening scene.
Amy, you're number one.
Well, kind of tying it into Father's Day, Star-Lord and Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh,
the moment that Ego basically tells Star-Lord what he did, and they really focus on his eyes, and it's just like, whoa, and then he goes.
So
just perfect.
First of all, yes, that's a great moment. Second of all, that reaction from Star-Lord is the perfect thing to point to for anyone who says, the way he reacted in Infinity War wasn't consistent with the character. And we talked about on this show and on other shows, it's 100%, it's exactly what Star-Lord would do when he's like, where's Gamora? Yeah. And he's like, I don't care about anything. I'm just going to go ahead and do this now. So yeah, that's a perfect example.
While very annoying, you're absolutely right.
Yes, definitely annoying. Yeah, considering, especially for half of the population of the universe that got. Oh, sorry. Have you not seen Infinity War yet? Then you shouldn't be watching this show.
Well, see, but the other thing is that this is so, when you're fighting family, physically, yes, emotionally, yeah, there's something, there's a whole another layer added that I think that's why it makes it so powerful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Excellent. I agree. And Carrie, you're number one to wind everything down for the evening.
Well, actually, I'm going to chime in and double it up with some of the chat ones. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a good point. Hayward Wong says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with May versus May.
Yes, that was great.
That was
like
a good one. Yeah. And then also in Avengers, the Zaius Bellew says the Black Widow chair escape.
that was a terrible mention. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That chair never stood a chance.
That was, first introduction, I would say. Like, first big introduction.
Yeah, it was like, this is the cool character. Yeah. Also, I was like, I don't remember it that well, all of them specifically, but I'm like, wait, what about some of the Ant-Man fight scenes, especially with the new Ant-Man and Wasp movie coming out? Yeah. I'm like, those are fun fight scenes, too, when you have object chain size, but
there were so many. It was hard. It was hard.
It was hard to think of.
Yeah, and that's why I kept it to three, because we could do weeks and weeks of best fights, but if you, in the chat, and you're watching, leave comments down below. And you'll get our Twitter handles afterwards, so you can go ahead and tweet them at us. And Anthony in the booth, speaking of Twitter, at Tony B. Tony, he has a couple, so please let us know some of your favorite fights.
So two of them. So one's not as recent, so it's actually from Civil War as well. It's Captain America versus Iron Man with Bucky at his side.
That's a great fight.
That was fantastic.
That's a very, like, Star-Lord vibe, and what we're talking about, where Tony's like, you know, where Steve basically says, you know, I didn't know. And he's like, I don't care. You know what I mean? He does, like, logic has nothing to do with it. It's like, my dad's dead. I am just going to beat the snot out of you, at least to the best that I can.
Yeah, that fight definitely has more meaning to it for myself. Because just, like, the emotional, like, gravitas it has with it. And, like, just Robert Downey Jr.'s acting in that scene as well was very powerful for me. To a point where, like, I almost cried. I was like, this is very emotional. And the action, too, was fantastic. How Bucky and Captain were so in sync, just beating this metal man down. And it was pretty cool to see. And my first one, though, it is pretty light spoiler. The movie has been out. It's from Deadpool 2. It's the best surprise that this film could have delivered, which was Colossus versus the Juggernaut.
That's a great call.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That is a high point in that movie. I had no idea that Juggernaut was in it. And I love when Deadpool lets us know that there's going to be some CGI fighting now.
Yes.
But that is great CGI fighting.
Exactly. Yeah. And in every punch, I felt it so much more than like anything I've seen from the Disney MCU. And it was great. I really enjoyed that fight.
Yeah, you get a very different tone from the Fox /X-Men universe movies than you do from the Disney.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more grittier.
Yeah, yes. And I think those are two great characters from just all-time greats, Juggernaut and Colossus. So to get to see them fight is like, it's another one of those like, who cares what else happens in the movie? Mm-hmm. Look at that! But I definitely agree. That's a great one. I'm glad we got that in there. And as we said, let us know all of your greatest fights. You can also let us know your favorite dads. And any of your other thoughts on the shows we talked about. We'll be back next week, and we will talk at least a little bit. We won't go all in on Luke Cage, because most people won't have had a chance to watch all of them. I know I won't. But, you know, we'll talk about a couple episodes, you know. And if you want the full Luke Cage experience, make sure you find when and where to watch. Well, where is easy. It's this channel. Mm-hmm. Amy was telling you, subscribe to this channel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you subscribe to this channel, you'll get the Luke Cage after show. So then you won't have to look for it. But if you want to look for it, just stay tuned. Anyway, and we'll talk about that next week. And, well, we've got Cloak and Dagger. So we've no more Legion, at least not until next year. But I did read that Disney's Spider-Man animated series is coming back tomorrow, Monday. Ooh. So season two of, I think it's actually called, I don't know, it's actually called Marvel's Spider-Man or Disney's, I don't know. It's on Disney XD, like 6:30 or something. So check that out, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. We don't talk enough about animation, so maybe we'll try and do something about that. But that's all for right now. The show, will be back next Sunday at 10 Pacific. Until then, you can follow me at ChristianDMZ, and I have a personal podcast called The Blackcast. It is at blackcast.com, BLADTCIST.com. The current episode features a lengthy sit-down I had with our friend Michael Shirley before he moved, and then we had to record an extra segment because he did the Roseanne after show, and, well, if you read the news, you know why we had to talk a little extra. But, so check that out. Zia, where do people find you? Not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter, no. I'm one of those people that doesn't have a Twitter. But you can find me on Instagram. It's at Zia_land. It's XIA_LAND.
Thank you, Zia. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Amy Cassandra Martinez, where do people find you?
You guys, well, I'm wearing a very special shirt just for you all. My shirt, podcast listeners, says find me on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
And Carrie Lane, where do people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And go ahead and say all the shows you do on AfterBuzz. I love
you know,
when
right?
You do this.
I was doing that on my other one. I'm like, but yes, The Expanse, which also we had two of the actors in. We had Naomi and Drummer, the characters. And then I was always Kara and Dominique. And then we had Westworld. So we got one more next week's the finale, Box Office Breakdown, Marvel TV Weekly. And then on Monday, Handmaid's Tale. Tuesday, Horror Movie News, as well as anime, where we're talking about Full Metal Alchemist. And then Legion just ended. So just seven right now.
Just seven. She only does seven shows. Yeah, it's exhausting.
Then every so often is also the con guy or the scare guy, which it's either convention news or horror and the horror theme park stuff as that is coming up too.
And thank you, Anthony, for clarifying that it's called Marvel's Spider-Man. To me, I call that show Disney Spider-Man because Ultimate Spider-Man was, it was a lot less Disney. Mm-hmm. But thank you. It is called Marvel's Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and that's the show that returns tomorrow, Monday, on Disney XD. And, of course, Anthony, as I've mentioned, is at TonyBTony_. Is there anything else you'd like to promote, Anthony, where people can find you?
Yeah, Carrie kind of covered it, but every Tuesday at Horror Movie News. What I was going to say, .com. Horror Movie News on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on the Popcorn Talk Network, Pacific Coast time.
And he engineers our anime show, too.
So look at that. He engineers a lot of shows. Yes. So you should just watch every show on AfterBuzz, and maybe you'll hear Anthony. Anyway, we are out of time. Thanks so much to everybody who joined us in the chat. Thanks to all of our panelists. Thanks to everyone. And we will see you next week. Until then, Excelsior!
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.